comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show, talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. We're here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Tonight is free night here at KSS. That means you can watch the show tonight for free. We do this a couple of times each month so that those who have not yet decided to become part of our members' community can see a little bit of what they're missing. And believe me, getting to watch the show is only a little bit of what you're missing. There's a great deal more than getting to watch the show. You get your own profile page, your own friends page, your own blog, your own photo gallery. You can upload your photos to that and share them with friends on your friends page and so forth. And, you get all that, plus the chat room, plus the forums, plus the video galaxy, and a lot more other stuff. And it's only $6.95 a month. It's the best deal going, I guarantee you. And if you're not a member, you are missing universes of experiences and information. $6.95 a month, it's nothing. So, join tonight. We publish something called the K-Files. It's absolutely free. It's our newsletter. It comes out each week. And we would like for you to be getting it so you will not be in the dark. How do you do it? Well, click on where it says K-Files on my website and subscribe. And then you'll get a confirmation email. And then it's got a link in it for you to activate your subscription. Do that. And you are subscribed. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. It's absolutely free. And you do want to get this next edition, I promise you. Tonight is going to be Open Line Live, and that means that I will open the telephone lines for you. And we will talk about whatever you want to talk about. It's BYOT. But I'll open those phone lines after I tell you something that I really do not want to tell you. I did not want to tell you, and I have put it off and put it off, but I must now tell you. And so I will do that when we come back from break. We have a break coming up in a few seconds. When we come back from break, I will tell you what it is that I don't want to tell you, but I really don't have a choice. And so I will do so. And then after that, we will open up the telephone lines and allow you to BYOT, bring your own topic, and we'll talk about whatever is on your mind as long as it's within the genre of the strange and unexplained. If it's in the genre of the strange and unexplained, then it's grist for our mill, and we want to talk about it. All right, if you haven't done so, be sure you call a friend. Invite them to tune in. They're going to enjoy watching this show. Thank you. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And the thing I did not want to have to bring up or to tell you, but I really don't have a choice. What could it be? Let me tell you that the reason I hate to have to say what I'm going to say is because it's really not in my nature to be brutal. And it gives, saying what I'm going to say, there's no way around this. It will give free publicity to two men who definitely do not deserve it. A situation has arisen that is serious. It's a situation that if I don't address this, then the proliferation of lies, falsehoods, inaccuracies, whatever you wish to call them, is going to overwhelm the show. About, I don't know, several weeks ago, we had a guest on this show. That guest is a publisher. His name is Robert Kelder. He's from the Netherlands. And the way that he got to be a guest on this show is he came over to the United States to promote a book. Someone who's very close to this show recommended, having met him and having taken a quick look at the book, that I interview him on the show. I talked with this man on the telephone. He was in New York City at the time. And briefly found out what is the book about, what's the story, who is the author, etc. So he was over here promoting this book. And I decided that it fell within our genre somewhat and would be of interest to you. So I interviewed him on the show so he could talk about the book. Well, he had told me who the author was, and he had sent me an e-book version of the published book. At the end of this e-book, at the end of the book, the author has an appendix, several appendices. And within that material, it lists the credentials of the author. And when I checked on the credentials of the author, they came up, shall we say, wanting. I will get into that a little bit more. On the air, I very politely brought that up because it's a key issue. This book makes some pretty serious claims. Although it's written as a novel, it makes some pretty serious claims about people being involved in this tragedy that we call 9-1-1. And maybe there were. I don't know. That's not the issue. The issue is that he's promoting this book that it is written as a novel, but he's promoting it as let's get some justice here. Let's get these people on trial. So even though it is written as a novel, it has a very serious intent, and that intent is voiced by this man, Robert Kelder, the publisher. So I interviewed him, and he was interested in being on the show because I am a former international police officer. This is not anything that I have hidden from anybody. I realize that a great deal of the public have no idea what are international police officers. They make up in their minds what they think that is. And it works a little differently in every country, but virtually every country in the United Nations Every member country of the United Nations has international police officers. Those officers are officers of their country with no jurisdiction in their country. Their purpose is to go into peacekeeping missions under the administration of the United Nations and be cops. So, and these peacekeeping missions are usually, you know, you've just finished a war, and in fact, most of the places I've been, bombs were still going off and grenades were still going off when I was unpacking my gear. Because even though politicians and diplomats sign the peace agreement, the word doesn't get down on the street good and solid for a while. So, He was interested in coming on the show because I was a former international police officer. One of the things that we do on this show is if a guest wants a copy of the show that we have just done, we make it available. So if I had a guest tonight, we record this show, and if they want a copy of it, we make that available to them as a thank you for being on the show. Our shows, however, are copyrighted. If they wish to use them on their website or put them on YouTube or whatever they want to do, it states right on our website. You scroll down to the bottom of the website, it tells you that all of our shows are copyrighted and they cannot be displayed, redistributed, placed on websites, etc., without our written permission. Now, there's a reason for that, and the reason is there are types of websites where the guest may have good information that we want to talk about on this show. On the other hand, his website or her website may have material on it that we find really objectionable. It would be extreme, but here's an example. I don't want my show showing up on a porn website, which it wouldn't. But you get the point. So we have to have some control over that. Well, the show started showing up. The show in its entirety showed up at YouTube without my written permission. I didn't say anything about it. But then Mr. Kelder began to make some little vignette videos where they used my voice and in some cases my name in the headline, and the headline made false claims. One in particular stated that I was part of the U.S. secret police. And that's where all of this really got started. Those who have listened to this show for any length of time, over a period of years, you've heard me talk about having been international police. You have never heard me say I was part of the secret police or the special police, or because those don't exist, and I was not part of them, couldn't be part of them, because they don't exist. I was international police. You have also heard me, when some people get confused and they refer to me as having been Interpol, you've heard me correct them and say, no, I wasn't Interpol. I was international police. And the difference between Interpol and international police, this is not exactly this example is not exactly correct, but it will give our U.S. audience some understanding. It's like the difference between the U.S. Marshals and the FBI. It's a completely different organizations, completely different tasks, completely, totally different. And you've heard me correct people when they've said Interpol, and I've said, no, it wasn't Interpol. I was international police. If I was Interpol, I would say so. I was not. I was international police. Well, we'll get into that a little more. But I sent Mr. Kelder an email and explained this to him, and explained that, you know, there's no such thing as U.S. secret police, and there's no such thing as U.S. special police. I was international police. I was part of the U.S. international police. Well, I thought this would clarify things for him so that he would correct the error and take down that video and put up a corrected video. Well, the time that it would have taken to do that was not spent doing that. The time that it would have taken to do it was spent making a new video in which he says that I now claim that I am not part, that I was not part of the U.S. special or secret operating police, making it look like I had said it and then denied it. The fact is, I never said it. And in his response that he wrote and that he has posted in several places, he says that he had thought that he agreed to do my show because, get this, he agreed to do my show. I'm the one with the airtime. I agreed to let him on the show. And he agreed to do my show because he had been led to believe that I was a member of the Fourth Estate and a high-ranking counterintelligence officer with connections. And well, I don't know who led him to believe that. I certainly didn't. And you've never heard me say anything of the sort. And I, you know, if he just imagined this, he needs to go to work for Disney. They need people with imaginations like that. So he said, and then I find out you are just international, U.S. international police, so-called international police, and in parentheses, because you weren't under the command of the U.N., but just under the U.S. Okay, well, look, Mr. Calder's ignorance covers him like luminescent paint, and he's glowing in the dark. The ignorance is eye deep. So let me get this straight for everybody, okay? And I think a picture is worth a thousand words. So here's a picture for those who are watching. This is a picture of basically four people. You see three very well, and then a fourth one, just a face peeking through the crowd there. This is in downtown Pristina, Kosovo. It is directly in front of the International Police Headquarters for Kosovo. That's where my office was. The three people in this picture, the one with his back to us, is the police commissioner. For the international police, there is no one higher than that within the mission that we work. Okay? So the only place we have any kind of jurisdiction, the only place that we have any kind of police powers, is in the mission where we get assigned. So I was assigned to Kosovo. That means I had full police powers in Kosovo. Okay? And this guy that I'm talking about, the police commissioner, is the top cop in that mission. There's not anybody higher that we have to answer to. All right. Not there. Okay? Now, you may notice that the person who is facing us and talking to the police commissioner is Ambassador Richard Holbrooke. He was there on a diplomatic mission. And the person standing over there in the dark blue uniform with the blue United Nations beret, because I had to do that. I hated that beret because they're uncomfortable. They're hot. That thing's made of wool. And it's got the United Nations badge up there, emblem up there on the beret. That guy standing there with that blue beret and that dark blue uniform and the sunglasses is moi. Now that uniform has a, you can't see it, there's a badge on the front of it, and it's a United States International Police badge. You can't see it in this picture because it's blocked by the police commissioner. So I was United States International Police assigned to UNMIC, United Nations Mission in Kosovo. I was under UN command. The commander that the UN had selected is this police commissioner. I answered to a deputy commissioner and this guy. That was my chain of command in Kosovo. I answered to two people in Kosovo. Now, was I UN or was I United States? I was United States assigned to the UN and under UN command. That's the way this works, Mr. Calder. It works this way for your international police, too. As I said, Mr. Calder's ignorance covers him like luminescent paint, and he glows in the dark. But it gets a lot deeper than that. But I, just for the record, want to make sure you understand. I want everybody to get this, okay? And I've made this clear every time I've ever had to clarify it on the air. I was international police. I was not Interpol. I was not U.S. secret police because they don't exist. That's something totally snatched out of thin air by Mr. Calder. I have never said that I was Interpol. I have never said that I was U.S. secret police. Ever. Never. I was not U.S. special police. They don't exist either. And I've never said or implied that I was any of these things. I was not CIA. I was not NSA. I was not DIA. I was not DEA. I was not FBI. And we could just go on through the alphabet. I wasn't any of those. I was international police. That's all I've ever claimed. That's all I've ever said. And I have no freaking idea where Calder got his nightmares, but he apparently has them. I'm going to share with you, when we come back from break, more to this story, because there's a reason why I have to say this tonight. It's a very serious reason, and it's one I think you will understand. We shall return right after this. All right, welcome back to Serious Night here, and it's also Free Night at the Kevin Smith Show. This does fall within our genre because I haven't run in 11 years, I haven't run into anything quite this strange and unexplained, because I've made extremely clear in my emails to Mr. Calder what the facts are. I thought perhaps he simply didn't understand. And, you know, and that would not be all that unusual, because most people never even met an international cop. They don't even know what they are. So I explained it to him, and I explained it extremely clearly, and he twisted what I said, made it look like I was now denying something that I had previously said, which I had not said and had not implied. Why is this important? Well, because there's a proliferation of him spreading this stuff out there. And folks, in this country, it's illegal to impersonate a police officer. Now, I was international police, but if I went to Los Angeles and implied that I was a Los Angeles policeman, I'm not a Los Angeles policeman, never have been. That would be illegal. That would be a crime if I implied that I was FBI. Never have been. That would be a crime. If I implied that I was CIA or any of those other alphabets, that would be a crime. And so he's plastering this out there that it makes it appear that I said it. Now, what I said is in our archives. Those of you who are members, just go to the K-Pods, look up Robert Kelder, and you will hear what I said. I never said that I was anything but international police. And that makes it sound like there's nothing to international police. Actually, in police work, that's about as high as you can go in this country. I mean, you've got the local town marshal, you've got the city police, you've got the sheriff, you've got the state police. After that, you have the U.S. Marshals. And then after that, you have international police. And in fact, our producer, Bob Brady, was a U.S. Marshal assigned to work with the international police and then assigned by the State Department as international police to go to Bosnia. And that's where I met him, was in Bosnia. He was my boss in Bosnia. So that's, you know, there's, when I say just international police, it doesn't mean that there's nothing to it. There's a great deal to it. But the point is, I never claimed I was anything but international police. With this proliferation of false information that he's spreading, it makes it appear that I have claimed something else. That would be stupid for me to do, because those agencies he implies that I claim to be part of don't even exist. They don't even exist. We don't have U.S. Special Police. We don't have U.S. Secret Police. So it'd be stupid, and it would be a lie. If I said that I was part of that, it would be a lie, and I don't do that. But it would also be a crime. And so I want to be on the record here tonight. I want to be on the record. I want to be straight. I want everyone to know the score. And it's been this score since we did that show. I have never, ever claimed to be anything other than international police. And then prior to that, I was a sheriff. Not a sheriff, but a sheriff's deputy. And also worked as a city policeman. That's all I've ever talked about. I've never said I was anything else. But saying that you're something else is something Mr. Kelder seems to be familiar with. Perhaps that's where this stems from. The author of that book he was promoting goes by the name of Slobodan Mitric. Slobodan Mitric and at least three other aliases that I have found. Slobodan Mitric, in the book that Mr. Kelder is promoting, gives some of his credentials for why you should think that his book has some weight. So let's take a look at some of that. As part of his credentials, and by the way, Mr. Kelder, if you want to play hardball, welcome to the major freaking league. There's a certificate reprinted in this book. And it's also on a website. It's out there for the public to see. And this is a certificate from an organization called Reserve Police International. It's a certificate that actually looks like it was made by a third grader. But it is issued to Dr. Slobodan R. Mitrich from the Reserve Police International, and it says that Dr. Slobodan R. Mitrich is a revered, respected, lifetime member of Reserve Police International. And in my conversations with Calder prior to the show, he kept talking about how Mitrich was involved in a lot of the same stuff I was, because he was international police too. I tried to explain to him then that, well, you know, I've checked into this Reserve Police International. And I said, look, I've never heard of this. And in fact, if you go and listen to our archive of that show, you'll hear me say, I never heard of this. I checked into it. I've never heard of it. And I did say, and I still say, that just because I haven't heard of it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So I really checked. And here's what I found. Oops, that's the wrong one. Here we go. It was never a police agency, which I suspected. It never had any police powers. It never had police officers. It's not a police agency. It was some kind of private organization started by Raymond J. Healy. And it was started in 1983. In 1993, Healy sent Slobodan Mitrich a memo appointing him the director of Reserve Police International. It was located at Healy's home in Tucson, Arizona. And he appointed Mitrich to be the new international director. That was in 1993. I believe in September of that year. In, I think, you see, March. In March of 1994, okay, so September of 93, he transfers the directorship of this organization, whatever it is, to Mitrich. In 94, in March of 94, the state of Arizona revoked the corporate charter of Reserve Police International because they had failed to file their 1993 corporate report. And so it was at that point and to this day a dead corporation. Now, when I ask about that on the air, Mr. Kelder said, well, he reconstituted it in the Netherlands. Okay. All right. It's still not a police agency. It's not a police force. It has no police powers. What is it and what does it do? Who knows? It has the word police in the title, and it has the word international in the title, but I, as a bona fide former international police officer, am telling you that's not international police. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, as far as Arizona is concerned, where it was founded, it's a dead corporation and does not exist anymore. In that same book, in the same appendix, Mr. Mitrich reproduces for us his doctor's degree from the Arizona College of Police Science, signed by Raymond J. Healy. Well, I did some checking on this because, you know, I lived right there in Arizona for a number of years, from 2004 until the end of June of 2010. So I lived there for a number of years. I never heard of the Arizona College of Police Science. Now, I had a bunch of friends who were cops, as you might imagine. I asked them, have you ever heard of it? They said no. I called, because the name is Raymond J. Healy, and because Raymond J. Healy was listed on that other organization as its founder and its agent of record, and its address was Tucson, I called the Tucson police. I asked two different people. I got passed around, but I got to ask two different officers Have you ever heard of the Arizona College of Police Science? And they had not. Now, let me tell you, our producer, Bob Brady, is also post-certified as a police officer in Arizona. So I asked him, have you ever heard of this? And he said, no. My certification is from another state where I used to work, but his is from Arizona. And he said, never heard of it. I checked the list of colleges and universities in Arizona. I checked the list of colleges and universities in Arizona all the way back to 1983. I can't find this on a list. I can't find anyone who knows anything about this. As far as the state of Arizona is concerned, this never existed. So what does that mean? That means, well, it doesn't exist, so I guess a real doctor's degree doesn't exist. I guess that's what that means. If you start doing searches for this author, you will find a number of websites that have different names. They don't necessarily have his name on it, but if you watch closely, you'll see they are his. Now, one of those is called the Serbian Internet News. And on the Serbian Internet News, it's called Srpske Internet Novine. Which, by the way, Slobodan, you should know you spelled Srpske wrong. Even using Latin letters, it's not S-E-R-B, it's S-R-B. So anyway, here's a picture. And this picture is on that website. Now, this picture appears to have the author standing next to our president, Barack Obama, which, don't you notice that Barack Obama looks like a cartoon there? There's a reason for that. The article that goes with this, the headline says, Dr. Slobodan, I think he uses a different name there, meets with U.S. President Barack Obama at the White House. All right, we'll be back right after this. Okay, welcome back, and continuing saga, the Kelder-Mitrich saga. Just a quick recap. The reason that I'm showing you what I'm showing you and describing for you what I'm describing for you is I want you to understand that you've heard the phrase, the truth is not in him. You've heard that phrase? It would appear the truth is not in these guys. And as evidence of that, what is published as the credentials of Dr. Slobodan Mitrich, membership in a Reserve Police International organization, which according to Arizona no longer exists. It is a revoked, that's what it says. It says on the, you can go to the Arizona Corporation Commission's website and look for this, and it takes a while, but you'll find it, and you'll see its status is revoked. Okay? But on top of that, it never was a police agency. It never had any police powers anywhere in the world. There is a degree from a Arizona College of Police Science, which apparently never existed. Certainly, if it did, it doesn't. But apparently, it never existed. But it doesn't stop there. On this website that I was talking about, you will be amazed. I mean, when you see this photograph, you see this picture, you can tell it's a fake. You can tell, I'll point out a couple of things for you, but you can tell this is a fake. And the headline says that Dr. Slobodan there had a meeting with the U.S. president at the White House, and they discussed several matters, and that the president assured him that the president is going to give Kosovo back to Serbia. I can assure you that will not happen. While my personal views are we should not have recognized the independence of Kosovo because we were part of a resolution 1244 in the UN that said when we went into there that we would recognize the territorial integrity of Yugoslavia. Okay, we didn't. And I think we should have kept our word. Nevertheless, I assure you, the United States is not about to give Kosovo back to Serbia. You know why? First of all, it's not current foreign policy. But secondly, the United States of America doesn't own Kosovo. Do you think that those people who there think they are free and independent now are just going to allow us to walk in and say, oh, no, you're not. We're going to give you back to Serbia. You think that's going to happen? Come on. Like I said, people with imaginations like this need to be working for Disney. All right, take a look at this picture. Take a close look at this picture. What do we see here? Well, we see the president and Slobodan standing out in front of the White House, right? Do you know how tall our president is? Look at him in relationship to Slobo here. Do you notice that the president's head looks elongated and thin? That's because that's not him. You want some more proof? Take a real close look at the right shoulder of Slobodan. You notice anything strange? That's the right hand is the one where he's holding the cane. Notice anything strange above that right shoulder? Well, what you can see is a crease in that background picture of the White House. You see that crease? Notice the green that they're standing on. Notice there's no grass there. You want to know why? Because that's a green screen, green carpet picture. That's not grass. That's a green carpet. Notice anything else interesting here? Standing right next to the president, who's not tall enough, and his head has been elongated. In fact, maybe the whole body has to try and make him look taller. Standing right next to him is Slobodan. Look at that bulge in his left pocket. I assure you, there's no possibility you're going to have a bulge in your pocket like that and get next to a president of the United States of America. That bulge is going to be divulged. They're going to take whatever's in that pocket out of that pocket. Then you can get your picture taken, and then you can have it back. That's the way it works. That photo is a fake. But it's presented, by the way, on that website, it shows this photo, and then it shows the exact same president with the exact same pose, the exact same smile, everything on the president is exactly the same, but Slobodan is on the other side. So the president apparently was frozen and could not possibly move, didn't twitch an inch while Slobodan went to the other side and they refocused the camera. Come on. Would you like to have your picture taken with the president? I can arrange it. Would you believe it? I can. It'll cost you a little bit. It's not expensive. And we can even, you don't have to go to Washington. That's expensive for you to travel to Washington. We can have the president come to your house. I'm not kidding you, but there's a fee for it. For $29.95, you can get that president that Slobo's standing next to. $29.95, you can get a Barack Obama life-size cardboard cutout. Same suit, different tie in this picture, but the exact same pose, the exact same clothes, except for the tie, the exact same smile. And if you put this in Photoshop and stretch his head, you can elongate him and make him look taller, then you could do this, you know? You really could do this. You could have the president come right to your house and we could get a shot of you and the president right there in your front yard, standing beside if you have a swimming pool, standing beside the pool. You know, if you paid a lot of extra money, you could probably get the president wearing presidential swim trunks. Come on. This is unbelievable. And it's a shame. It's a shame because there are people who believe anything and everything they see on the internet. Anything they see, anything they hear, anything they read, they believe it. If it's on the internet, they think, my God, it's got to be true. Well, I have shown you a pattern of false information from these two guys. Actually, from both of them. I've shown you a pattern of false information. Some of that false information, this pattern of false information, Mr. Kelder decided to use in handling me. And I have no idea why, other than he, in one of his emails and in one of his posts, said that I wanted to focus on the minor issues of these certificates instead of the major issues of 9/11. Minor? When you lie about your credentials, why should I believe a dadgum thing you say about 9/11? We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. My sincere sympathy to you for what you have missed. You have had, if you were here for the first hour, a ringside seat to a developing storm of galactic proportions, unless this gets straight. I have already taken some legal steps, and there are more to come if Mr. Kelder does not get his stuff straight here and take down the things where he is making false claims and giving false impressions that I made statements that I didn't make. As I said, what he has framed me in could be illegal. It would be illegal had I done it. But what I did do, what I did say, is a matter of record. We have it in our archives. I mean, I don't have any kind of problem in terms of am I in trouble. Had I actually said the things that he's saying I said, I would have legal trouble. The evidence is the recording. The evidence is the show. Unedited. Now, what he does is he cuts that up and edits and tries to make it appear that I'm saying something that I didn't say. And all I can say is that Mr. Kelder needs to get his stuff straight, because the path he's on leads him straight to the courthouse with his wallet, and it better be a big one. It better be a huge wallet. I don't know why he's chosen to do this. I don't know why he's chosen to promote a book by someone who's making what very clearly appears to be fraudulent claims about his credentials. Obviously, fraudulent claims about having met with President Barack Obama. If he did meet with Barack Obama, that's not a picture of it. That's for sure. That's a fake picture. And that's pretty easy to prove that's a fake picture. So why? I don't know. But there are two things that I owe you. I owe you honesty. You're honest with me, and I've always been honest with you. I owe you honesty. And I owe you an apology for having Robert Kelder on this show. I'm not psychic. If I were psychic, perhaps I could have foreseen all of this. But I'm not psychic. I had no idea when we had Robert Kelder on the show that any of this nonsense was going to come up. But it has. And so I owe you an apology for having Robert Kelder on this show. The man and the book that he is representing, well, we've seen that Slobodan Mitrich is not above making claims that are unsubstantiated. And as I wrote to Mr. Kelder, it's a shame because everything in that book might be genuine. I don't know. And we will never know, because we do know that the credentials are a sham. So if you'll lie to me about who you are and what you are, if you'll use sham credentials, why would you expect me or my audience around this world to buy your book or believe what you say? I don't know. It's a mystery to me. It's in the realm of the strange and unexplained. Today is the 13th. Maybe it is an appropriate date for me to have to deal with all of this. I don't know. But we are now going to go open line. We can talk about this stuff if you want to talk about it. I don't know what else there is to say about it. But that's okay if you want to talk about it. We can also talk about the moon, and Mars, and Venus, and the space program, ghosts, Bigfoot, whatever it is you want to talk about. It's BYOT. Bring your own topic. Now, the telephone lines are open. The flash message board is open for those who are outside the USA and outside of Canada. And you can participate by calling, or if you're outside the USA, outside of Canada, you can call or use the flash message board. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
I want to go in a different direction tonight.
Thank you.
I was watching the news today, and I'm watching all the financial troubles with the budget and everything, and it got me thinking about the economy. And to keep it with the genre of the Kevin Smith show, I was wondering about the economy of ETs. And specifically where I'm going is, like, last night you had James Horak on.
Yeah.
And he was telling about supplying the stars with new fuel and stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
And if the ETs are capable of something like this, that's eons ahead of us. And I remember reading or hearing a guest, maybe not on your show, but they said that the Pleiadians will not mine their own planet. That they never mine their own planet. They barter or buy whatever to get stuff that they need.
Okay.
And I was thinking that here we are. The ETs came in. They basically corrupted our Constitution. The president can't even get information because he's not on the need to know. And it seems like there's no morality. And if there's such eons ahead of us, it doesn't seem like they're helping us. And how you see what I'm saying? They're using our Earth, but it's like us trading baubles with the Indians for their land.
Yeah, but we did it, didn't we?
Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah. Well, Jerome, I don't know if you've ever heard me say this, but I don't think that E.T., from wherever they are, if there's a million different races of them, I don't think they're much different from us. And when we say they are eons ahead of us, we're talking about technologically. But to think about this now, just barely over 100 years ago, the Wright brothers were the first to fly powered aircraft. They were the first to have a man on board an airplane that took off on its own power and flew. And it was a rickety, barely able to get into the air, airplane just over 100 years ago. Now we have the International Space Station. So in 100 years, we have gone light years ahead in technology. But now, in that same 100 years, have we as a people on this planet, did we get better? Or do we still kill each other? Do we still have wars? Are we still looking for reasons to take somebody's land, to bomb somebody's city? Just because our technology is advanced doesn't mean we are. High technology in the hands of barbarians is dangerous stuff, and that's pretty much what we've got on this earth right now. It could also be pretty much that way with ETs, or at least with a good number of ETs, that they have great, wonderful technology and are still as barbaric as we are. That's possible. Just because they have technological advancement doesn't mean they advanced spiritually.
Well, you still hear that there's good ETs versus bad ETs, and if they are, and I'm sure they are that much technologically ahead of us, it seems that the good ETs should be able to help us in immense ways, and not just keeping a hands-off policy. Well, the bad ETs are corrupting our economy, our constitution, or our lives.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Would you agree that there are good Americans and bad Americans?
Yes.
Okay. Would you say there are more good Americans than there are bad ones?
Yes.
So would I. Okay. Why aren't we rescuing dying children in Africa? We have it within our power to make sure that everybody in Africa eats a dinner tonight? Why aren't we doing it?
I mean, you know what, Kevin? I see the commercials on TV about the starving kids, and I'm 60 years old, and I remember when I was in my teen years, and I would see the same newscast as people in Ethiopia were starving.
Well, why haven't we fixed it?
You know, I'm just going to say it's money.
We have the money. Look at the money that we just flushed down the toilet within the past 12 months. We gave it to the banksters that caused the crisis, and they used it to give bonuses. We have the money. What we don't have is the spiritual and political will to do what's right with the money. That's the problem. Would you say churches generally are good people?
Yes.
Yeah. I would say so. Would you be surprised to know that after the alleged war in Kosovo, which was not a war, the Albanian Kosovo Albanians that had left and had gone to Macedonia and to Albania started coming back, all of these church groups started coming to Kosovo to help. Sounds like a good thing, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Not a single church group gave a tinker's damn if a Serb died. They did not come to help any Serb civilians. They came only, and I mean 100% of those church groups came to Kosovo only to help the Albanians who didn't need it, did not need it, and in many cases did not appreciate it, didn't want it. And if it were not for old scrubby pagan police, international police, taking up money among themselves to rescue the Serbs, they would have died that first winter. And the churches didn't give a damn. So when we say there's good and we say there's bad, those are very relative terms. And I think it's that way also with the ETs.
Well, let's hope maybe it's like Gordon Gianni Noto said, that we have to be less selfish.
Well, and that's it. If we're less selfish, we automatically become better people. And, you know, I would like to see us all move that direction. You know, high technology certainly doesn't in any way indicate what spiritual level the people have. And I think that's true of the ETs as well.
Okay, Kevin. Thank you for talking with me.
All right, Jerome. Thanks for the call. Maybe you disagree with everything I just said. That's okay. It's open line. And you can call and tell me you disagree. All right? 623-444-5889 is the number. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Hi, Kevin. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make this quick.
All right.
These clowns you were talking about for the first 45 minutes or so?
Yeah.
They could be one of two things. One, they could be set up to try and put you off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Or, if taken, prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, they could be a setup to fund your show for the next 20 years.
Well, let me tell you, I could get a judgment against this publisher, and he's dead broke.
Mm-hmm.
He's got no money, so I'd never collect it. But what I could do is put an end to the publishing. I could end up owning the publishing company. And if I ended up owning it, I would put it out of its misery.
Good point.
Yeah. Yeah, but Brent, I've already taken some legal steps, which will become apparent to Mr. Kelder within the next 24 hours. Other legal steps can be taken. I don't want to do it. if I have to do it, I'll do it. And like I said, if you want to play hardball, welcome to my freaking league.
Welcome to the big boys games.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to do that. What I prefer is for Mr. Kelder to have a change of heart, change of mind, change of direction, and get this stuff straight.
Relating to what your previous caller just said, I honestly don't think that's going to happen, because there are unfortunately the, shall we say, more depraved are in positions of power, and they'll exploit that to their best ability.
Yeah, I think they will. Until, you know, I used an example the other night about somebody trying to keep an orange in their hand to keep a kid from discovering there's orange juice in it.
And squeezing it tighter and tighter and tighter until the orange juice leaks out.
Yes, finally, what they're trying to prevent happens because they squeeze too tight. And that is what's going to happen with this current paradigm. The power brokers and the power holders are squeezing tighter and tighter and tighter to hang on. But you know, you squeeze a tube of toothpaste so tight, and eventually you put enough pressure on it, it'll burst, and the toothpaste runs right out between your fingers. Their power is going to do that. What they're trying to hang on to is going to burst out through their fingers.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it'll happen. Brent, thanks for the call, buddy.
Yep, okay, bye.
All right, bye. 623-444-5889. Well, I'll tell you what, Open Line Live is a great opportunity for you to voice what you want to about any of the topics that are in our genre. Somebody sent this to me, I saw a story about Dr. Melba Ketchum. You know Dr. Ketchum? She is a veterinarian doctor, or a doctor of veterinary medicine. But she also is one of the founders of a DNA laboratory. And they do all different types of DNA testing. And there is a story out there. I actually saw this on Crypto Mundo, you know, Lauren Coleman. Excellent site. Where allegedly there was a hunter who shot what he thought was a bear, but it wasn't a bear. It turned out to be a female, adult female Bigfoot, and it killed her. And then there were two younger Bigfeet, that started running towards him, and he shot one of them and killed it. Now, this, we've heard all these wild big tales like this before. But you got to read this article. The guy that wrote the article says that he thinks there may be some truth to this because apparently the story about they sent a slab of Bigfoot thigh to Dr. Melba Ketchum and then a slab of the younger Bigfoot to Dr. Melba Ketchum. And when they first opened this package at the laboratory, they freaked out because they thought someone had sent them tissue from a human. And it was only after, you know, they read the accompanying information and looked at it closer that they realized these were way too hairy to be normal humans, and so apparently that lab is in possession of actual Bigfoot tissue to test. Well, I don't know that that's true. The writer of the article thinks it's true. The writer of the article thinks that the essential story is true, and he gives his reasons for why, and that's one of the reasons. But boy, I'll tell you what. Now, if that happens to turn out, if that pans out, and it's truly Bigfoot, if that's really Bigfoot tissue, we're going to know some things really soon. We're going to be able to have some confirmation on some things really soon. It'll either confirm that Bigfoot is real and it's more human than animal. Bigfoot is real and it's more animal than human. Bigfoot is real and it's all human. Bigfoot is real and it's all animal. Or Bigfoot's not real at all. One way or the other, this is going to confirm. Well, it might not confirm that Bigfoot is not real. It could confirm this is not a Bigfoot, in which case this hunter could be in huge trouble. If it turns out that it's all human, oops. It's a big story. As I said, it's at Crypto Mundo, and you may want to check that out. There's also, on my Facebook page, on my wall, there is a video posted by one of my Facebook friends that shows 160 pictures of stuff that's on the moon. Now, maybe that's what you want to talk about. You know, we had a show here where we this week where we talked about the Cayuga mission that Japan flew. Cayuga was the name of the satellite and the name of the mission. And on board this satellite, there were the highest resolution cameras ever sent to the moon. And Cayuga took some amazing pictures. Now, one of the things I commented on in that show, I showed you some of the pictures. I showed you two of them. And one of them, I showed you what looks like a fortress in ruins. It's pretty clear, I think. The other picture I showed you was as the satellite traveled across into the shadowed side of the moon, and the whole picture is black except three little spots where there are light, and when you zoom in on those light spots, looks like cities. I mean, it really, really does. And so they're pretty amazing. But I made the comment in that show that I don't know why, and I still don't know why all of the space agencies do one particular thing. Remember what it was? Well, you have a little time to remember because we're going to take a break and then we'll be back.
From Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada. When a topic in history or science or the paranormal is too outré or controversial for conventional media, where can we go for information? To the Kevin Smith Show, of course. I'm a big fan.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's Open Line Live tonight, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, we understand that international long-distance calls are expensive, and so for you, you can either call us or you can use the flash message option on my website. Scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and then all you have to do is just look above that. You'll see the link that says flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
Yeah, Kevin, I wanted to call in and say thank you for several things.
Okay.
I was your Facebook friend that put that 160 photos of the moon on your Facebook wall.
Yeah.
Glad you like that.
Oh, it's fantastic.
For referencing it.
Fantastic. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put that in the K-Files this week. That'll be one of the video links.
And then the second thing was thanks for all the shows about the moon lately. I've just been loving listening to them over and over again.
Well, good. I'm glad. You know, we just get little trickles of information. And, well, you know, the reason we get little trickles, there's a lot of pictures out there, but it takes a lot of time to just, to enlarge those and then just kind of go over every little grain of sand out there and see what's that, you know. And, it's so time consuming that researchers just can't get to enough of the pictures fast enough. And, so that's what causes the little trickle. You know, it would be better if the space agencies would just come out and say, okay, look, here's the deal. Here's what we found, you know. They're not going to do that. So we have to rely upon researchers going over these pictures and looking at them very carefully. And, you know, like I said, it's almost one grain of sand at a time. It's almost that slow. But, boy, there's some amazing stuff on the moon.
Well, I also had one more thing to say thanks for.
Okay.
And that's for your guest that you're going to have tomorrow night, Dr. Jack Pruitt.
Yes. Yeah, that's going to be exciting.
Deception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be an exciting show.
He might meet his match with you. Most of the other people that interview him, not the quite level of intelligence as him.
Well, yeah, nobody has to worry about meeting their match here. They just have to come on and tell their story, that's all. But, of course, I have questions, and the audience has questions. And that's, in my opinion, what a talk show is supposed to be about. And that is, you tell your story, and that raises questions. And then you get a chance to answer the questions. So it should be interesting. Should be exciting.
I mean that more in a way of, like, his knowledge about Bible and biblical things.
Uh-huh.
He's really well-versed, and that's why I like listening to him so much. I learn a lot when, you know, when he comes on shows and talks about his book.
Uh-huh. Well, that's fine. And, you know... you know, I'm very well versed in it too, but that doesn't mean we will see it the same way. You know, I mean, and usually, unless somebody says, well, you know, the Bible says this, and I know for sure it didn't say that, then I step in. If it's just that they're interpreting it differently than I do, I let that go. That's their view of it, and we want to hear their view of it. You know.
I can't wait to hear your questions you have lined up in the first hour that you're going to ask them.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It'll be interesting. What do you think about Zachariah Sitchin?
Oh, I liked his whole life's work, and geez, my wife's read all of his books and tells me all about him. And too bad he's gone now. We really have a great loss with him being gone now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've done this, but you need, if you haven't, go into the members area in the forums, look at the forum Ancient Civilizations, and read all the stuff about Sitchin, because there is one post there that I think really is going to open a lot of people's eyes. You know, we've had several people have come out now with statements that Sitchin was a fraud and he didn't translate and so forth. Well, there's some information there that shows that he did translate and that his translations are deemed by experts to be accurate. So check that out. That's in the forums. One of our members actually went to the university where these experts were supposed to be, who said Sitchin was wrong, to find out what they actually had to say. So read that. That'll be interesting.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
All right. How about you? How about transporting yourself right here into the bridge of the KSS Starship? Here's the transporter coordinates. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. All right, let's go to the telephone and caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Ryan of Puget Sound today.
Hello, Ryan. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Sorry about if I got some background noise. I'm standing next to a road. But, going back to, thanks for giving us an update on that fraud that photograph is obviously a fraud. But thanks for letting us know about that.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
Going back to what you were talking about last night with James Horak.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was thinking it'd be an interesting show to have because you know, John Lear talks a lot about that kind of stuff. John Lear talks about that these objects are, I guess, transfer stations. You know, the object by the sun.
Uh-huh.
And you know, yeah, I just think that'd be. To see what listen to John Lear and James Horak sort of go through some of these things and see if they come to the same what am I trying to say here?
See if they match.
What I mean is that have you ever heard of a guy named Lou Baldwin who wrote a book called A Day with an Extraterrestrial and In League with the UFO?
I have heard of it. That's all I can. I can own up to having heard. That's all. I haven't read the book.
He claims to have been up to these giant spaceships that are up there around Venus and Mercury and the Sun. And according to John Lear's hypothesis, which is controversial because a lot of stuff with John Lear I don't agree with, but. Because James Horak's talked about this, and because he's talking about the same thing, I thought it'd be an interesting roundtable to hear them go talk to each other about it. But he claims that the sun modulates the heat of each planet is not determined by the distance from the sun, but that the sun is an electromagnetic sphere, not a nuclear reactor. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's both. it is electromagnetic. But it's also quite obvious that there is nuclear reaction taking place. What we see, when we see these solar flares, we don't see lightning bolts. We see fire. And so, you know, if it was purely electromagnetic, those would be like lightning bolts. But it's both. It's very, very magnetic. It's very strong. It has a lot of gravity as well, and there's a nuclear reaction taking place without ceasing on the sun. And have you ever seen pictures of the surface of the sun?
Well, no, not really.
Do you know that there actually are pictures of the surface? I don't know how they are able to do that. It looks like an orange peel. Just take an orange and hang it up in the sky, and the texture looks like an orange.
Well, what John Lear is saying is that the atmosphere of each planet modulates or brings down the temperature or takes the electromagnetic signal from the sun and warms each planet accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe... I don't know. It could be way off, but I wonder what James Horak has to say about that, but I should have called last night.
Yeah, but, you know, it can be both. Both of those can be true at the same time.
It's still interesting stuff, though.
Yeah.
And it's very educational.
Well, you know, considering whether the sun is electromagnetic or a nuclear reaction... That's like saying, does the Earth have gravity or magnetic field? Well, it has both. You know? And so I think the sun is both. I really do. And I certainly think that there are electromagnetic pathways between every body in space, every heavenly body. There are electromagnetic pathways between them.
Yeah, I had thought about that as well, you know, that, well, it just, as far as these objects by the sun, I just saw it mentioned that there are some people who claim to have actually been taken up there while they have been abducted, so I...
Well, as a matter of fact, James Horak says he's been on board.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's several people that have. So, Anyways, interesting show tonight, and I'll free up the line and keep up the good work. And we'll talk to you again later on.
All right, Ryan. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. As I said, those are the magic coordinates for your little transport device. Generally referred to as a telephone, you punch those numbers into that device and it will transport you to the bridge of the KSS Starship. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hi, Kevin. You have several different times when James Horak has been on, you've mentioned about that you went to see him, and I think it was last night you mentioned about that he... While you were there, he showed you some different things.
Yeah, I described it, too. Yeah, I described it, too. The airplanes that go, they go so high that you really cannot see the airplane anymore. You see the contrail. And then they dive for the ground, almost straight down. And at one point, they just freeze in the sky. I know it sounds crazy, and like I said, I don't care whether anybody believes it or not. It doesn't matter to me. But he had talked about that on the air. When I visited him, we were standing out on the patio at his backyard, and having a cup of coffee and just talking. And he started watching something in the sky. I had no idea what. And then he said, come here, come here. And we walked out to, he's got a lot of trees. We walked out to a clear spot, and he showed that to me. Hang on just a minute. We have a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the telephone with me is Rusty from Michigan. And Rusty, what I was saying is he pointed up through between the trees and showed me. And he said, you remember me telling you about those airplanes that freeze? He said, you watch that one. He's going to dive towards the ground in just a minute. And when he does, he'll come down only so far and then he'll just stop. And it just freezes there. And, Rusty, I'm telling you, contrail and all freezes there. Is it holographic? I don't know. Is it a real airplane doing this? I don't know. Is it strange? Now, that I know. And, yes, it's very strange. And, you know, he told about that in one of the shows. And it was one of those things where, you know, my mind, I've never seen it, and my mind says, I don't know how that could be. But I've learned over the many years of my life, never say never. There really isn't much that's impossible. I don't think there's anything impossible.
So you think those planes may be cloaked UFOs or something of that nature then?
I don't know. It could be. I know that what they're doing is not what you would expect an airplane to do. And let me tell you, if you watch them long enough, they will come on down. Eventually, they'll start moving again. The one I was watching I watched it hang there for about 5 minutes, and then we walked into the house, and we walked back out later just after it had begun to move again. And you could, it's the same one because you can follow the contrail right to the back of it. And it had gotten low enough that you could see it had wings. But is it holographic? I don't know.
Okay. One other subject, James also mentioned, see if I heard him correctly, did not he make a short statement about that the sun was some type of portal?
Not exactly, but you're close. He was talking about, did you get to see the show last night?
Yes.
Okay. Remember that part in the video where that object that's out there, it just gets blasted by the sun. And then the sun really just, it's like a volcano. It's just erupting. But there's a dark area between that object and the sun where there's no fire. Okay? That channel between that object and the sun where the flames are going to the right and to the left, but there's a channel between them where it's dark. He said that is a channel of negative energy or lower energy, and that is a portal.
Okay, so like a dark hole or dark matter or something, you mean?
He didn't say dark matter. He just said that's a channel of lower energy, and it is a portal.
Okay.
So
the reason I ask that, and I don't mean to follow just the Bible, but any religious text, they have their leaders that you follow. But all throughout the Bible, there's all different types of things. Like you have to go through the Son to get to the Father. You have to go through the Son to do this and to do that. You think maybe that's a metaphor for what is showing up now with the physical Son? Because if what he is saying, if I'm reading it right, it may be a way to go from what he also was talking about, that the ETs use these to go from one, you know, dimension to another or whatever it may be. So is it possible all those things in those scriptures are metaphors saying, hey, look, up against your sun is where these portals are to go to these different universes?
Well, I don't think so, and I'll tell you why I don't think so.
Okay.
The word sun, S-O-N, and the word sun, S-U-N, sound the same in English, but not in Greek. And those scriptures are written in Greek. In Greek, the word sun, S-O-N, is huios. And they very often use the Latin term for sun, S-U-N, which is soul. So huios and soul, they don't even sound alike. So I don't think there's any significance in the fact that in English the two sound alike. I think that's just kind of accidental, actually. Because in the original language it was written in, which is Koine Greek, they don't sound alike. It's huios and soul. Or helios, if they use the Greek word, helios. Sometimes they use that, sometimes they use the Latin term. Even though they're writing in Greek, sometimes they will use the Latin term for the sun.
Okay. And one more question about what James said. Did he say that he could take someone and show them the EMVs depositing the soil? Is it Nevada or Utah?
Yeah, he said he has seen it happen, and he said that he could tell you right where to go, where you could go out there and you could watch them doing it, you know, if they're still doing it. It was a number of years ago. Yeah, he said that.
That would be interesting to see.
Wouldn't it? Wouldn't
yeah.
it? And, you know, he said they can take on any size they need to. It doesn't matter. They can change from being the size of a golf ball to being the size of a planet. You know, it makes no difference to them. Whatever they need.
Wow. Okay, well, that's all I had, but I just wanted to see if I was hearing him right when he was speaking about that.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
All right. We have time for another call, maybe two, 623-444-5889. Boy, our message board, our flash message board has been quiet tonight. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is John from Conroe.
Hello, John.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Well, I just wanted to call and suggest a guest for you.
Okay. Who would that be?
The guest would be Dr. Jack Pruitt. Have you heard of Dr. Jack Pruitt?
He will be my guest tomorrow night.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just wanted... I met with Jack Pruitt just last week, and I thought that he would be just the most fantastic guest for your show.
Well, you know, I got a lot of high recommendations to have him on the show, and I guess I can go ahead and tell this. I had someone else scheduled who has gotten ill, and she let me know, I guess early this morning, that she was not going to be able to be with us tomorrow. She's got flu-like symptoms. And so I got in touch with Dr. Pruitt's assistant, and I said, look, I know it's short notice, but I've got this opening. If he wants it, I'd love to have him. I've been getting a lot of recommendations to have him. And so she arranged that. And also with the help of Greg Moore, one of our listeners. And so they arranged that. He'll be with us tomorrow night.
That's great. I'll listen. You know, like I said, I had lunch with him, and I was privileged enough to share some, you know, one-to-one, face-to-face conversation with the man, and you'll be pleased with him as a guest.
So you recommend that everybody out there tune in tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Hey, thanks for the call. I got to run because we're at the end of the show, but thank you much.
Okay.
Bye. All right, bye. All right, that's going to do it for this evening, folks. Again, I'm sorry that we had to do what we had to do tonight, but I had no choice. I'm sorry I had to expose you to all that information, but I had to because the other stuff is out there on the internet. And so I wanted you to know what is the score. When you listen to the Kevin Smith Show, that's one of the things you're always going to run into. You're always going to run into what's the real score. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.